I really appreciate coming back here. I remember some of the faces here. I remember fewer names than I remember faces, and I appreciate you introducing to me because I'm bad at names. I'm really bad at names. It was 6, maybe 7 years by now, the last time I was over here, and I love my time here at Tri-Cities, and I love the family here, and I really am glad that y'all invited me to come back. Don't wait 7 years for my next visit. Now, actually, one of the things I want to talk about is to give you all a little update on what happened in the last 6 years. I was here before COVID time. That's when I got to be with you and visit with y'all. Then COVID came, and that was 6 years ago. And I know it doesn't feel like 6 years ago, but I was here during the first phase of COVID. I landed here, and it was like a week, maybe 2 weeks later, I had an email come from the Czech government telling me, get yourself to New York. There's one last flight that will take you to Prague. If you miss that flight, you are not making it back to the Czech Republic. And I ignored it because I loved it here. Because whenever I visited all the Christians over here, I felt home. I didn't miss home. I didn't need to go back. And my flight was in 2 months, and I thought, COVID will be gone in 2 months. Yeah. So I overstayed. I overstayed by about 2 months. And so when I got back into the Czech Republic, I tried returning back to the States months later, or even when COVID finally finished. I was disallowed to come back into the country. Every time I applied for a new visa, I was disapproved. They never gave me a reason. And so 6 months ago, Seth Rigsby, one of my best friends from over here, he's from Huntsville, he invited me to a wedding that was last night. And he told me, you gotta make it. So I said, I will do my best. I tried my best. I finally got a meeting at the US Embassy in Prague. I got there to the window, and the lady asked me, why did you pick a different visa? Why aren't you flying with the regular one that tourists fly with every time? And I said, well, because you disapproved me. And she said, why did we do that? And so not only did I have to guess my crime, which I guess it was the last time I came here, I overstayed by a month. So not only I had to guess my crime, I had also have to plead my innocence and prove to them that I did nothing wrong and I tried everything in my power to get out of this country on time. Well, I got the visa last Wednesday, 2 Wednesdays ago, picked up my passport, I made the first flight here, got in time to get myself measured for a suit for the wedding, and it was a wonderful wedding. I really appreciate coming back here because my time in this area, in the Russell, Muscle Shoals, Florence area, has been one of the best times of my life. And I appreciate seeing the same faces, and I appreciate seeing some new ones. The lesson I wanted to bring to you today is from Matthew chapter 22. I was thinking, what kind of lessons could I bring forward that you'd never hear? I couldn't come up with one because there is a church on every block over here. I was thinking, all right, I will pick a topic that will help you the best it can. And then I realized, I don't know you. Last time I saw you 6, 7 years ago, and a lot of things have changed. I know in my life, I struggle with completely different things than some of the old ones I struggled with 6 years ago. So I couldn't really pick a topic that would, you know, hit the right spot. So I thought about it, and I picked one of the most fundamental topics of the gospel. So if you will, look with me into chapter 22. Here we are in one of the last days Jesus gets to spend with his disciples. And that's the time period I want to talk about. I want to talk about the disciples. I want to talk about Jesus, about their relationship, and about one of the last words he tells his disciples before he leaves and he's crucified on the cross for our sins. So one of the last stories, we read the Pharisees, we read the Sadducees. In Jerusalem, they come up to him, they talk to him, and they try to catch him. They try to catch him saying something. So at the beginning in chapter 22, we read about them asking, the Pharisees asking Jesus about paying taxes. Who should we pay taxes to? And we know the story. Should we pay taxes to Caesar? Or are you telling us to finally put an end to that? We know the answer to that. Later on, we see the Sadducees asking him about the resurrection. My bad. They talk to him about the resurrection, and they ask him about the resurrection. How will it be? That's not the topic I want to talk about. Jesus received all these hard questions. And then we read in verse 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends all the law and the prophets. After all these answers he gave them, after hearing all these questions, a Pharisee raised his hand. He asked his question. And I'm sure Jesus was like, what's next? What kind of question do you have store for me? What is harder than the question about the resurrection or taxes? How are you going to try to get me? And he asked him an easy one. A couple of years ago, I was in France, and I got to speak to a fellow brother over there, and I was studying with him, and he knew no English, and I knew s'il vous plaît and merci in French. So I was talking to him, and we spoke with a translator, and he said, hey, I want to ask you a question. Can you help me understand something? And I said, no problem. I'd love to do that. What is your question? And he said in French, how does the Holy Spirit work? I would have trouble answering that question in my native language, let alone in English, let alone in English translating to French. So I'm sure when Jesus was answering this question, he was like, well, that's easy. The greatest commandment is to love your God with all your mind, with all your strength, with all your power, with all your soul. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. I was studying with Kevin, one of the brothers in the Czech Republic on Tuesday. I asked him, hey, what is the greatest commandment? And he said, well, easy. I asked him, what is the first commandment based on the Old Testament? You read the Old Testament. What is the greatest commandment from the Old Testament? What do you think? And he said, to fear your God without hesitation. And I looked at him. I laughed. And I said, well, it may seem like it sometimes when you read the Old Testament. But even in the Old Testament, the greatest commandment has always been from the Shema, from Deuteronomy chapter 5 and 6, love your God. Your God is your only, hear, O Israel, your God is your only God. And love your God with all your heart, with all your might, with all your strength, with all your mind. That has been given to them before. To love your neighbor as yourself, that has been given to them before. And we answer that question. Some of us aren't Kevin. Some of us know the greatest commandment. We answer that. It's an easy answer. It's not easy to accomplish that commandment. And so the scripture says, Jesus said, on these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Meaning, if you get these two commandments, it's not a long test. It's not the ACTs. If you get these two commandments right, you got it. You figured it out. And the rest of it will follow. 6 years ago, I moved back to the Czech Republic. This morning, we were at Phil Campbell. We were studying Acts chapter 15 and Acts chapter 16 and 15. We read there about Paul and about all his great plans on his second missionary journey. We read about his plans. He's like, all right, I'm going to travel with Barnabas. And Barnabas persuades him in chapter 15. He talks to him and he says, I want to go back and I want to encourage the churches. I want to bring John Mark with me. They get into a dispute. They fight over it. And Paul says, all right, plans change. I'll bring Silas. I don't have to have you, Barnabas. So he moves forward. He meets Timothy. He moves further. And he's like, all right, I'm going to go through Galatia. I'm going to come back through the north. I will come back to Israel. And God shows him in a vision a man standing in Macedonia. And after that vision, Paul said, plans change. There is a man in Macedonia that needs me. I always thought about it, who was the man in that vision, whether it was a random man, whether it was a man we don't know, or whether it was the guy who was in charge of the prison. Because he took the ship, he went to Philippi, he was arrested in Philippi, and there he was thrown into prison. He was singing at midnight, and God rescued him. And that night, the jailer and his family was saved. Now, my plans were great. I was sure I was going to make it back to the States 6 months tops. Didn't think it would take me 6 years. There is a good reason why I didn't make it back. Because God had different plans for me. I got back. I started working as a marketing specialist at a local company. 4 years ago, I met there a girl named Nikki. And when I met her, she was lost. She was as lost as a sheep is. When Jesus was walking in Matthew chapter 9, he saw all the crowds following him. He was filled with compassion because they were like a sheep without a pastor, wandering, being lost. I don't know how much you know about the Czech Republic. Czech Republic is number one in only a very few things. We are a very small country, about half the size of Alabama. In that small country, 10 million people live. So it's quite a packed space. That country is number one in two things. The amount of atheists in one country, over 80% of people in that country consider themselves atheists, and it has not been that way. Communism, the Habsburg Empire before that, before the First World War, the Nazis during the Second World War, all of these governments, they used the religion, the Catholic Church usually, to use power over the people. So people stopped believing in faith. People stopped believing in religion. And so when I met Nikki, she had never met a Christian, period. Never in her life has she met anyone who would tell her, I'm Christian and I believe in Jesus. She was 25 when I met her. I said Czech Republic is number one in two things. I'll tell you the other one. The second thing is the amount of beer they drink per capita. So it's a killer combination. When I met Nikki, she was as lost as it gets. She was not only in the middle of the whole chaos of atheism, but she was ruling that chaos. She was the governor of chaos. She was worshiping chaos, and she was proud of it. I was here on Thursday morning when we studied the culture, and we studied with Stacy about the LGBTQ community a little bit. When I met Nikki, she was part of that. She wasn't really practicing it, but she found hope in that community. Because she grew up in a broken family, she didn't know what her role was, and the LGBTQ community told her, you pick your own, and when you do it, we'll celebrate a whole month of Pride Month for you because you got to pick your role. I started studying with her. The first year was super hard. She was making fun of it. She didn't believe I was serious. And we slowly got further and further. She was baptized 2 years ago. And as Jesus said, the one who has been forgiven more loves more. Mike talked about it at Parkway a week ago. He talked a little bit about atheism. And he said that he saw somewhere on Facebook that the atheists stopped calling themselves atheists. That they started calling themselves realists. I think that was the word you used. Because that's who they are. And we chuckled at it a little bit at Parkway and chuckle at it even now. But when I think about it a little more, it's so sad. Because when your values are your values, when your role is the role you pick, and when you do what you like, and you do what feels good to you, that is realism in its core. So when Jesus is saying these two commandments, when he's giving them the foundation of the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's so much more in it than just an easy answer for Jesus for one question. Now I think about the apostles. I think about Peter. I think about Thomas. I think about James and John, right? The sons of thunder. Lord, call down the fire from the heaven. Not even the apostles understood what it means to love. When you read about Peter, about his temper, he didn't know what it means to love. And he grew up under the testament that was supposed to teach them how to love. But the Old Testament couldn't do it. The Old Testament couldn't accomplish that love. Because even when I talked to Kevin, who knows the Bible now, he told me the summary of the Old Testament is to fear your God. To an extent, it is. So Jesus came to this world so that we may to learn to love him. He came God in the flesh. He came to show us what it means to love, what it means to have patience with Peter and his outbursts, what it means to have patience with Thomas when he in the end said, Lord, I want to believe, but until I touch the hole in his hand, I will not believe. Now, he wasn't an unbeliever. He was there with him till the end. So when I was thinking about what to talk about when I'll visit y'all, I wasn't sure because I don't know what y'all's problems are. But I know that the problems of the apostles are definitely something I struggle with. I sometimes feel like Thomas. We're late in the evening. I know God. I know he is real. But I'm sitting in that corner of my bed. And I'm crying and I'm praying and I'm asking God, Lord, help me believe. Or I feel like John and James. And I'm like, Lord, I send fire down from heaven. If it were up to me, I would burn the whole village down. When somebody passes me on the highway, cuts me off. If it were up to me, that car's not making it home. Sometimes feel like Peter. Peter means rock. He was called Simon. And Jesus came to him and he said, I will call you Peter. And on you I will build the church. Can you imagine the role he had to step up to be the leader? Even though he had so many issues like he had? In one of the last moments Jesus had with his disciples are recorded in John chapter 13. And I want to look there. All over New Testament, we see Jesus teaching with authority. And we see everybody marveling about how he teaches, because he teaches as someone with authority. What does that mean? Well, back then, the Pharisees used to teach in a way, I heard this guy said that, and I think this. And they were building up on each other, and they were philosophizing answers to questions. Not Jesus. Because when Jesus spoke, he was upgrading stuff. Because when Jesus spoke, he had the authority to say, you have heard, it is written, you shall not kill. But I tell you, if you get angry with your brother, you've already killed him with your heart. So many times we see Jesus upgrading these commandments, and there is not a bigger upgrade than John chapter 13. After he washed the feet of the disciples, after he washed the feet of Judas, the one who will betray him that night, after he ate with them and gave them his last sermon, In verse 31, we read, When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him at once. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You will seek me, and just as I said to the Jews, so now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." There is not a bigger upgrade to any of the commandments. He could have said, "You have read, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. But I tell you, love each other as I love you." He says, "Where I am going, you cannot follow. What I am about to do for you will change the history forever." If he only came to this world, if he spent time with the disciples, if he taught what he taught, if he raised Lazarus and showed his power over death, I would say that would have been enough to show us his love, his care, his patience, his kindness, his goodness, his gentleness, his self-control, all of the fruits of the Spirit. But because he died on the cross for you, he changed the world forever. And he changed our hearts forever. And so in the Old Testament we read, and our conclusion may be like what Kevin said, to fear your God, that is the greatest commandment. And it's the beginning of it. But Jesus said, "This is the love I want you to follow." This summer there is a lectureship in the Czech Republic, and I've been asked to speak there on the topic, what's the greatest motivation for the service of the Lord? And I think there are three types of motivation. The first one, fear. Definitely fear. When I was little, my dad was strict. You don't know my dad. You know my dad, actually. He was here. Or I don't know, but on the flyer over there, you put my name wrong. You put my dad's name there, not my name. That's why you said in the beginning, Marek. I don't know where you got that. So I guess you know my father. So I grew up in a strict home, and my dad, he asked me, we have this large garden in the back, he asked me to mow it every 2 weeks. I did not like that with the push mower. It took us an entire day. So he said, "Go mow the garden." I did. You know why? I was scared. I was terrified if I say no. One day my younger brother said no. You know what happened? He got a spanking. One day, he got a spanking that big, and he looked at my dad. I saw him in the bathroom. His tear was rolling down his cheek, and he said, "It didn't hurt." Oh boy, he got such a spanking. I have not seen that since. But I think it was around that day when my dad realized that we may be too old, too stubborn to keep getting the spankings. So he started offering us reward for mowing the grass. And I feel like that's the second motivation, the reward for being here, the heaven. So he told us, "I will give you 20 Czech crowns per hour if you mow the grass." You know how much is 20 crowns? About 80 cents. I thought it was a lot of money. So I did it. It was better than getting the spanking. At least I got something from the deal. So I started doing that. And what do you think about today? When I go visit my dad and I mow the grass, do you think at the end of the day I give him an invoice for my services? I tell him today it was 3 hours, so that's going to be 280, 270? No. I mow the grass because I love him. And I know he loves me. That is the greatest motivation for service. Before Jesus walked and carried his cross to Golgotha, he gave his disciples one final commandment. Love each other as I love you. Why? Why? I want to love you, Lord. You do a lot of stuff for me. I don't want to love others. Why do I need to love others? He answered it in the end. He said, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And that's my message to you tonight. I want you to go home today. And I want you to think about these two commandments. Because there is no greater commandment. Love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and with all your mind. And not love your neighbor as yourself, but love your neighbor as Jesus loved you. And if you do those two commandments right, you did it. You got it. And all you got to do is look forward to heaven. I know it's not easy. And I know it wasn't easy for Jesus to love his disciples all the time. And I know it's not easy for God to love me all the time. And I know it's not easy for God to love you all the time. But he does that. Thank you for your listening. Thank you for listening to my accent and the mistakes I make. I hope you understood at least something. And if you did not understand a single thing, read Matthew 22 again, those two commandments over and over again. Now, if there's something I can help you with, anything the church can help you with, if you are fighting like me, and if you want to share something, come forward when we sing the invitation song.